Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, we'll be starting in verse 32. I'll be reading down through verse 39. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I come to bring peace to the earth. I do not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This message centers on two things. Two words that in our society are a little slippery, I'm going to say. Because people have a lot of different definitions for them. One of those words is committed. One of those words is committed. And the other one is surrender. Definitions very long and far and wide. Even the definition of committed can be used as a joke, right? You probably know somebody that should be committed. That's not the definition I'm going to be using today. I want to talk to you about putting God first. And I want to acknowledge to you that even though I've walked as a Christian fairly faithfully since the early 90s, I came to Christ in about 81 and walked with Christ for 3 years or so. And then walked away from the church for 7 before I came back. Putting God first still is a struggle for me. Right now I'm reading a book called The Third Spiritual Alphabet by a Franciscan friar from the 1500s called Francisco de Osuna. And he challenges in his writing about prayer that prayer is only most effective when we are totally surrendered to God. And that what happens in prayer in our relationship with God is only effective when we're willing to be totally committed to what God wants in this world. It has been a real challenge for me to read the book. I read a chapter every day and each chapter is only about 3 to 6 pages. And then I sit down and make some notes about it. And then I write in my journal, along with my notes, I write a prayer about what I know I need to do. And it's not an easy thing. Because over and over again, only read about 150, 160 pages of the book, and it's over 500 pages. So I know I'm going to continue to get. I need to be committed. And I want to admit to you, it's not an easy thing. But I want to admit to you also that the church, universal, needs committed folks who are willing to put God first in all things. We sang right before Rick a hymn that many of you love, I Surrender All. Did you really think about what you were singing when you sang it? It doesn't say, I surrender a tithe. It doesn't say, I surrender 1 hour a week to go to church. It says, I surrender all. That's where the bar is for Jesus Christ. And that's why he shares these words that seem to be very abrupt and hard words. The very first thing that he shares is he says that being committed to Christ means we speak about following and serving Christ. That we speak about following and serving Christ. And he goes on to say, if you're not willing to do that, that he's not willing to speak up for you. Are you willing to speak about your relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you willing to share that with other people and tell them how important it is to you? Or do you shy away from doing that? Next Sunday morning in Principles of Faith at 9 o'clock downstairs, we're going to talk about witnessing. How do you do it? How do you share with people? What do you need to share? What's your responsibility? What's theirs? What's God's? We're going to talk about that next Sunday morning. If you're not sure about how to do that, you need to do something about that. Because Jesus says very clearly here, if you're not willing to speak up for him, for your relationship with him and what he has brought to you, that he's not going to be willing to speak up for you. Now, to me, that's pretty shocking to say that, isn't it? Do you go about your week speaking about Christ? I had an opportunity, and I want to share it with you a little bit, because I want to ask you to pray for two young men. It's wonderful to live next door to Zach. People come to his house first and they send him to mine. You need to go talk to my preacher. Two Mormon missionaries were walking around the neighborhood Friday, and Zach sent them my way. But Zach had primed them in an incredible way. Brother, I didn't get a chance to tell you yesterday. You did a wonderful job of setting it up for me. Zach told them about what we're doing here at church, about how we're studying Be Still and Quiet Time and how to have a devotional time with God. They came to my house and asked me to tell them more about it. They didn't come to witness to me. They came to ask me about what we're learning here at church. They came and they asked me, and they eventually got to the place. They said, they didn't use these words, but this is what they said. They said, can you share your testimony with us? So I was able to tell them how I came to Christ. And then they wanted to know, can you tell us about this Be Still thing? What is it that you guys are studying? And I was able to talk with them about that. And then I said, they asked me, they said, well, how do you read Scripture? And I said, well, the way that I read Scripture is a method called Lectio Divina that I have done for 20-some-odd years, and it's been done by people in the church for thousands of years. And they said, well, explain that to us. And I explained to them the way that I read Scripture and how I use Scripture to hear what God has to say. Never once did they ask to share material from their church with me. They kept asking me about my faith and about how I knew Jesus. Are you willing to do the same? Are you willing to do the same? Okay, I wasn't ready for that. I didn't expect that on a Friday night after supper. That's my one night a week that mainly I watch television. It's about the only night of the week that I watch television. But I probably was out there for almost an hour having a great conversation with me, with them, with Tom and Bryce. And they're coming by the church on Wednesday because they want to see the church and they want to talk to me some more. So we're not done learning about God. Are you willing to speak about God when the opportunity presents itself? Are you willing to tell people about your relationship with Jesus? I've never had Mormon missionaries ask for my testimony. Never had that happen before. That's an open door. I didn't have to try to barge into their life. They came to me and they said, "Can you tell us? How did you come to Christ?" Are you willing to speak about Jesus with other people? The hard thing that Jesus tells next is that this being committed and being surrendered and following God and putting God first, it also means that there'll be divisions within your closest personal relationships. There will be divisions within your closest personal relationships. It's going to happen. It's pretty shocking the way that he says it. It's a quote from the book of Malachi. A man against his father, a daughter against his her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be members of his own household. You probably have somebody in your family that doesn't think church is as important as you think it is. You probably have somebody in your family that thinks what you do church-wise and relationship-wise with Jesus seems kind of silly to them. Jesus said that was going to happen. When you put God first, that is going to happen. Because other people want themselves at top of the list. Every child wants to be the favorite child. Right? I have a favorite daughter. Because Deanna and I only have one daughter by birth. So I can claim that I have a favorite daughter. I have others that I consider my daughter that I think very highly of. But you see, when you put God first instead of family, there will be questions asked. There will be divisions that happen. But stick with me through the end of the message. What Jesus is asking for is this. A commitment to Christ must be your highest love above all other relationships. A commitment to Christ must be your highest love above all other relationships. If you're married, above your spouse. If you've got children, above your children. Above your extended family. Jesus is asking for a commitment where you put what God wants first above everything else. First. Remember, we didn't sing, "I surrender a tithe." We sang, "I Surrender All." And many of you really, really love that old hymn. But have you taken the step to do that? Surrendered all. To say that, yes, God, you can have this too. Now, he says something here that I want to make sure that you understand, because it is greatly misunderstood in society and in the church as a whole. Taking up your cross is not a burden placed on you, but a decision about spiritual disciplines that you commit to follow. Let's pull this sentence apart. I've heard so many people say, "Oh, my back, you know, oh, it always hurts. Oh, that's just a cross I've got to bear." No. Jesus' cross was not put on him to bear. He took it up. He decided to carry it. Physically could not carry it, so Simon of Cyrene had to carry it for him. He made that decision. Jesus could have changed that at any point to say, "I'm not carrying it. Enough's enough." He had the ability to do that. He decided that he was going to take that up and carry it for you. Jesus made that decision for you because of the love that Jesus has for you. Taking up your cross is not something that someone else puts on you. It's something you make a conscious decision to do. And what I want to center around is that you've made a conscious decision to do some spiritual disciplines in order to grow your relationship with God. One of those disciplines that we've been talking about on Sunday night through the Be Still series, or on Wednesday night, I'm sorry, through the Be Still series, is having a daily devotional quiet time with God. That's a spiritual discipline. It's a discipline now that I don't know how to do a day without having that discipline. I know sometimes we think of the word discipline as a negative word. I'm going to discipline you for this. But these spiritual disciplines are things that you take on so that you can grow your relationship with God. Spending concentrated time in prayer is a spiritual discipline. Spending time sharing the word of Jesus Christ with people that need to hear it is a discipline. Spending time in fellowship talking about what God has been teaching you and how you've seen God in your life with other Christians is a discipline. Remember how I believe? Your spiritual life is meant to be personal. The spiritual life that you walk is different than the spiritual life that I walk. It's meant to be personal. But nowhere in Scripture does it say that it's meant to be private. Nowhere. It's meant to be shared with other Christians. It's meant to be discussed. It's meant to be talked about. That's a spiritual discipline. Are you deciding that you're going to do that so you can learn what other people learn about God and you can share what God shares with you, with other people? That's what I'm doing right now. I'm sharing with you what God taught me about this Scripture. Are you going to share this with somebody else today? Are you going to speak up and let people know? Going to church is a spiritual discipline. Unfortunately, most people in our country now don't see that as a necessity. I'll remind you of the article that I read a couple of months ago in the London Times. Only 25% of churches in England have more than one service a month. Because people just don't come. 25% of churches have one service a month or more. Some because, and it's going to happen to us here. That's why the article struck me so deeply. Some because a pastor has to attend to so many churches because there's not enough people that want to be pastors. And it's going to happen here to us. I graduated seminary in 2000. The majority of people that I sat in classes with, men and women, had no desire to be a pastor of a church. They wanted to be a minister of music, a minister of education, a children's minister, a youth minister, but very few people wanted to preach week in and week out and be the head pastor of any church. So when I look at what's happened in England, it's going to happen here. And why is it going to happen here? Because people are not committed to the spiritual discipline of coming to church. And this is where I say that this definition of committed is a little slippery. Because I've met people that if I go to church once a month, that's committed. Is it? Is what I want to say. And is only dealing with your relationship with God 1 hour a week, is that committed? Is that surrendering all? Is that committed? Because Jesus says he wants God to take first place in our life. I mean, one of the things that I could do, and I'll never do this, I will never do this, I promise you. I could ask to see your bank statement to find out if you're committed to God. Or are you committed to the Church of Lowe's? Or the Church of Walmart? Or the Church of Food Lion? Where would I see your commitment lie? Or the Church of Amazon? That's probably what you see mainly on my bank account. Could I tell that you were a Christian by looking at your bank statement? Could I tell? Could I tell if you were a Christian by looking at your calendar? If I followed you around for a day, is there enough evidence to commit you in a court of law as a Christian? Is there enough evidence? Because what I want to say, if there's not, then you're not committed. And I know this is a harsh word, but look at how Jesus says it. He says it in a very harsh way. Unless you are. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. I'm going to say it this way as a final statement for the sermon. Fullness of life is only found when you live life committed to following the way of discipleship. Fullness of life is only found when you live life committed to following the way of discipleship. A disciple wants to continue to learn from Jesus every day. A disciple wants to spread the word of the kingdom every day. A disciple wants to learn and grow more and more every day. I started this out by telling you I struggle with this. There's a lot of other things I love to do. I struggled a little bit when the missionaries knocked on my door on Friday night. I was getting ready to sit down and watch some TV programs that I really love watching. That's what I wanted to do. But God presented an opportunity to share with two young men, I guess early 20s or so. And they wanted to know how I came to know Christ. And they wanted to know how I read Scripture. And I had to make a decision. Am I committed to following God? Because God brought these two people to me. I didn't even have to go out and look for them. Am I committed to following God? I mean, yeah, I could have opened the door and said, guys, I don't want your information, see you, and shut the door on them. I've done that plenty of times. I will tell you the ones that I got to talk to when we lived in Norfolk. I never could figure it out, but I think that they put a mark on the street in front of my house. Don't stop at this guy's house. Because I would see them visit other houses, but they never stopped to talk to me again. I don't know what's going to happen with Tom and Bryce and how I can talk with them more while they have their time here. But I have to ask myself, am I committed to do what God's asking me to do? To talk to these two young men that are hungry for the truth of God and are open to listen. Matter of fact, they opened the door much wider than I did. I told you, I've never had Mormon missionaries ask me, can you share with us your testimony and how you came to Christ? Normally, they want to tell me how I can come to Christ. Because I didn't come to Christ the way that they think is proper. But they wanted to know from me. So I'm kind of hoping if you meet these guys, if they come to your house, that you'll spend a little bit of time with them. If not, I'll just do what Zach does to me. I'll send them to your house. Which I'm okay with. I'm okay with. That's not the first set that he sent to my house. I wasn't home one day. People were coming around for vacation Bible school and trying to sign kids up for vacation Bible school. And Zach told him, you need to go to the house next door. He's an adult. He don't have any kids, but he acts like a kid. I wasn't there. I wasn't there to talk to him, though. So, I have never had more fun in my whole life than living the life of a disciple. Never. And I have learned the fullness of life by living the life of a disciple. How about you? Are you committed? Are you willing to surrender all? Because I think we're going to sing that again, are we? Or we got, I'm trying to remember what we had down for. Oh, I have decided to follow Jesus is what we're going to sing here in a minute. That doesn't mean for 10 minutes. It doesn't mean for 1 hour a week. Is living as a disciple of Jesus Christ your top commitment? Or are there other things that take the place of that? Or are there other things that take the place of that? Let's pray. Lord, this is not an easy message that you shared with your disciples. And then now, down through the ages, you share with us. It's a tough message. It's a hard message. It'd be very easy to say, Lord, that these are not kind words to us. But I think you make it very clear this is what you expect from us. That if we're going to be committed to you, that it needs to be firmly, fully, and completely. So Lord, as we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, help us to really search our hearts. Is that our top priority? Or is that just part of our life? Help us to search that out as we sing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.